Well, I tell you, these Sundays are pretty amazing, and the junior high youth, young adults, are always a wonderful, wonderful group, and it changes every year, and I get one of those front row seats, and it's just wonderful, and just to love them and watch them love each other and the friendships that build, and it's never perfect. There's challenges, but there are in any groups, but it's just wonderful. Very proud of each of you and looking forward to the seventh graders for next year. And some of you sixth graders out there, you'll be coming up next. It's one of my favorite roles as being your pastor. And it's about love. John Oxenham, he wrote, "In Christ there is no east nor west." We sing that often. It's in our blue hymnal. He wrote this about love. "Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands, and while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give." A source unknown wrote this about love. What is love? "It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbors curt. It is deafness when gossip flows. It is thoughtfulness for others' woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls." And the verse, yes, we're looking at is verse 35 from John 13. It was on the screen with the video and the slides. It's the love command, the new commandment to love one another. Jesus said it this way in verse 34, actually. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Also, you are to love one another." And the newness of the command, I mean, there's nothing new. The Old Testament told us to love, right? But the newness of this command is in the fine print. Did you hear it? Did you see it following along? There's some fine print. Now, when there's ever fine print on something these days, I can't read it. I need a magnifying glass. But the fine print is, "as I have loved you." The crux of this command is to understand how Jesus loved us. And then to copy that as much as we can. So our text reveals aspects of this love. There's quite a few, but just two for this morning. First, Jesus' love was costly love. Verse 31 and 32. "Therefore, when he had gone out..." Remember, this is the Last Supper. That was Judas who would betray him. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God has been glorified in him.'" So the context is clear, referring to the death of Jesus Christ. And the cross glorified both Jesus and his Father. You know, on the one level, the cross is just a brutal, brutal thing. The epitome of humiliation and shame. There's no worse way to die. But in another superior sense, the cross was the embodiment of the glory of God, the Father, of the Son. To glorify God is to magnify or display His perfect attributes. Yes, it cost a lot, but at the cross, God's love and righteousness and justice and mercy and grace were magnified as at no other occasion in history. At our Alpha retreat day yesterday, there was some testimony about reckless love, and we sang this and just a part of this. And it talks about the costliness, the costly love, the sacrifice. Just the chorus says, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me." Jesus' love at the cross was costly. And sometimes loving as God would have us love one another, it costs a lot. What cost, and I'm not talking financially, might be some of that, but there's cost involved in loving brothers and sisters in Christ and being Christ's church. I mean, the scriptures, there's quite a few, and let me just share three. John 3:16 repeats it, "For God so loved the world that He gave His own one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Galatians 2:20, claiming, "I have been crucified with Christ." As Christians in faith, we say, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and He gave Himself up for me." And Ephesians 5:2, the encouragement to walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It cost a lot. And it's worth, you know, sacrificing time and using talents and sharing words and testimony. And yeah, sometimes there's funds involved, but it's worth it. You know, it's going to cost us, but it's worth it to love one another and to show that love to all in the church. And let's go on to the second, this leads to the second aspect. Jesus' love was visible. Obviously, the cross was visible, and it was meant to be that way, to shame those who were crucified, a public display. So be careful, public. But how He loved the disciples, how He loved those who were on the margins that no one else would love. His love was visible, and that's what the church, the love is supposed to be visible, isn't it? And verse 35, "By this love, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. Just as I have loved you," loving one another. People will see this. It will be noticed. Jesus, He wasn't talking about nice thoughts toward others, which no one else can see. He was talking about love that can be seen. You know, it stems from the heart, but it's seen in our outward actions. It's the sort of love that stands out conspicuously. You're like, wow, people take, what is that? You know, the early Christians were known for their love feasts. And the culture spoke against that, but they were speaking against communion, remembering the death and resurrection. And they had love for one another. Yeah, it challenged people, but it was their love feast for their Jesus. The world should see the way that Christians love one another and then take note, they must be followers of Jesus. Look, they're not doing things the way the world does things, how people tear one another down. They must be followers of Jesus. They're lifting one another up, and they're patient, they're encouraging. They must be followers of Jesus. Sadly, the church, capital C, and there's a lot of little C's too, and we're not perfect, but the church, capital C, is often known more for its fighting, divisions, pettiness, more than its love. God forgive us. But Jesus gave that visible example in John 13. You know, what Eric read earlier, it's the upper room, it's the Last Supper, it's the day before Jesus is crucified. And in John's Gospel, he does earlier talk about His body and His blood, the sacrifice, you know, by His wounds we are healed, the blood, you know, shed for us, it's our salvation. But in John 13, they're in the upper room, you know, where's the bread and the cup? Well, Jesus shows it to them. In His serving them, He washed their feet. Something that even Jewish servants didn't have to do. That was for a Gentile servant. He got down on His knees and He washed their feet. And He says in verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So our confirmads are going to wash our feet today. I'm just seeing if they're listening. Half were. No. Yeah, I won't go there. Okay. But Jesus became a servant, got on his knees and washed their feet. And Philippians 2 talks about that. It's the mindset. You know, be servants. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. He didn't count equality with God as something to exploit, but he humbled himself, born a human being, and he humbled himself, became a servant, you know, and unto death. That humility, that serving. You know, all of us are to lay aside status and rank and prestige and privilege and take the form of a servant, like Jesus, who humbled himself. And the whole setting is there. The whole setting there is the Last Supper. Think about who's around the table. You know, think around about who's in our groups they're with. Even in a junior high group or a high school group or you know, men's or women's ministry. There's people of different socioeconomic and different, different jobs and lifestyles and from different backgrounds. There's quite a mix of people. Think about who was there at the table with Jesus. He invites all of his disciples. He welcomes them all. Even those who would deny or betray, he invites all of them to experience God's love and his grace. He knows what's coming. But he loved them to the end. Despite broken promises, betrayal, broken relationships, he invites them to experience grace, to show them how much he loves them. Around the table, celebrating Passover, giving it new meaning. Jesus loves them. He loves them all and to the end. And that means completely, unconditionally, wholly. He sees beyond the things in their life, just as we're to look beyond the failures and the things in our own brothers and sisters' lives, just as Jesus would do. Who hasn't fallen short? But he looks beyond those things. He sees them as a child of God. He recognizes their need and their need to be connected. And he realizes his responsibility for his brothers and his sisters. That he is responsible to and for them, as we are for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Jesus looks beyond anything that divides and he celebrates that he loves them by inviting them to share in the bread and the cup. Everyone was welcome. The doubters, the betrayers, those who fled, those who watched from a distance. Everyone was invited. Everyone was invited. All were welcomed. And despite the walls we put up, the broken relationships that happen in churches, you know, despite all that, And even the brokenness between, you know, church to church and the larger church, capital C, and communities of faith, despite the denials that we sometimes bring, John says that Jesus loves us and will continue to love us. And we are to love one another to the end, completely, unconditionally. That is the love that we're called to reflect. To live this out as disciples of Christ. To live this out as the body of Christ here on earth, to join together until it hurts. But there's great joy. There's great joy in rubbing shoulders and working alongside. And there's wonderful examples here in the church. And I could highlight and go around in here and say incredible, sacrificial, godly examples as part of our church family and down through the years. You know, it's so many Christ-like examples. Sunday school teachers, children and youth leaders, you know, those who serve with men's ministry and women's ministry, our music ministry with the worship team, the unity and love that's shared there, even the choir, you know, with the community that's there, people coming together. And there's joy when people meet together. And people notice it. There's a Narcotics Anonymous group that meets here on Wednesday nights. I don't know, Peg, are you here? Okay, she's downstairs. But Peg Steinis asked, hey, could we set this up some years ago? And she shared her testimony and her, you know, she's very open about her life. And they meet every Wednesday night down in the fellowship room. And on Wednesday nights, choir meets, and there might be some other things going on. It's like Sunday mornings. There's not a place to park. Sometimes in the winter, there's less, but there's so many people there, you know, coming to agree that there's a higher power and their life has been overpowered. But all this being said, occasionally they can't meet in the fellowship room. So they've got to meet somewhere else. And this last Wednesday, the five confirmants were sharing their projects, their paper and their projects. And there was a wonderful atmosphere, and the families were there, and just they were a little bit fearful, but were trying to put them on edge. They knew that ice cream sundaes were at the end of the evening, and that always helps. But we were so proud of them. And I don't know when it happened, but all of a sudden, down through the double doors, you know, many of the group were already meeting up in the youth room for NA. And they were coming through the door and say, where are they meeting? Upstairs. But all of a sudden, this line of like 15 people comes walking through, right through the confirmation dinner. And they were young people. I thought, did a bus just let off outside or what? There was a leader in the front, a leader in the back, and they each had notepads. I thought, wow. You know, I just thought to myself, I thought later, you know, They're obviously, I don't think it's a field trip to an NA meeting because you can't do that. They were struggling themselves. And I wonder, you know, what's going on in their mind as they walk through a confirmation dinner. As it was God tugging on their heart. Everything we do, you know, it shows something. We hope it shows God's love to people that are in need. You know, hopefully they had a tug on their heart. But I just thought, wow. The things we do, even inside the church, impact those who are searching and looking. When John shares these words with his community, with us, he's giving us a powerful message. He wants us to understand that the love that exists in the church community is the essential part of our outreach. What kind of love are we showing? Are we revealing to the community around us? You know, Alpha is another opportunity where people come in from the outside and they can be pretty abrasive. You know, and that's okay. We want people to come in and they can share anything they want about anything they believe, whatever they're wrestling with. And there's patience, there's love, there's a respect. We respect people where they're at. And Alpha is a place where that love is experienced as well in a powerful way. I see the sacrifice, the servanthood. May it be infectious, the love, the unity. May it be infectious in our church family. Because that's what's attractive about Jesus. Look how they love. Maybe God even loves me. People see that. You know, we want our confirmants to continue on this path, to grow and to be united in love, to serve and to follow their calling. We want them to do that, but we also need to be part of that too. That's what today's about, to learn about God's love, that we are love, that He has a purpose, a plan for us. We need to be part of that, wanting to grow and wanting to join, you know, in the mission, the outreach, the work of the body of Christ. You know, what better news to bring? What better example to share with a world that is hurting, that is broken, that is divided, and in need of God's grace and love right now? What is it that John Oxenham said? Love ever gives, forgives, and outlives, and ever stands with open hands, and while it lives, it gives, for this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. Amen. Well, this is the time for a rite of confirmation. Just make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay, we're good. You five ready? Again, where there's a prayer time, when you see your loved one being ready to kneel on the steps, just come and make your way. We'll wait. You know, we're going to go a little past 12, but that's okay. And as we pray over them, may God touch each and every one of our youth in a powerful way. But may God touch each and every one of us by His Spirit today. After we recite the Apostles' Creed, and that's found in the back of the blue hymnal, just remain seated. We'll stand for the Apostles' Creed, but then you may be seated for the hymn. That's a pretty long hymn. But brothers and sisters in Christ, just as nature has its time and seasons, each of which is important, so in the providence of God does human nature. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. A time for the early and the latter rain. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Today we rejoice because our youth are on the same gracious pilgrimage in the faith as we are, having been drawn by God's word, by holy example, by the sacraments, and by prayer. We know that their journey has only begun. Yet we are confident that God, who began a good work in them, will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks to God, who awakens faith in them, but also in us as well. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son,
our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated as we sing.
Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord.
He is creation, by
let me introduce the confirmants. Samantha Grabber. Sammy Grabber. And Lauren Whaley. Go on down and face, yeah. And Julia Bond. Eric Carr and Eric Sundell. Heavenly Father, we thank God for Eric, the special day and all that means to him, to you, to all of us who love him, to the church. And this young man has a lot ahead, and he has a lot going for him. His love for you and his love for, you know, serving and his future as a Camp Squanto counselor and who knows what you have for him. But I ask Almighty God that you would bless him and bless his family. And protect him and provide for him, and Holy Spirit, fill him again and again. Let him know that, God, you love him so much. That there is a friend, there is a shoulder to cry on, and there is a rock to stand upon. Thank you for his words and his paper. So we pray that Eric will be courageous. He's strong in the Lord. And Lord, bless him. Go before him. All that you have for him, make it plain. And bless his family today indeed. Let him know that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Amen. Lord bless you, Eric. And Eric Carr. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Eric. For Eric Carr. Thank you for bringing him to us. And he's a high schooler, but we were so glad that he came to be with us for confirmation for D.C. And it just lit a fire in him about church life, about youth group, and his involvement with the adult choir, and his gifts with cartooning, and his desire to utilize that for your glory for the future. It's obvious, Lord. With all the challenges, if there's been any hardships, Lord, I pray that they would just fall away, be stripped away. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon Eric. Holy Spirit, come and fill him. And may, as his faith is awakening, may it just touch others around him, his family, his friends. You have your hand upon this young man, and Lord, let nothing get in the way of that. Let Eric know that he has such great potential because you, Almighty God, are sovereign and everlasting. And you are his strength. Let Eric know that through Christ, he can do all things through him who strengthens him. So bless Eric indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Julia Bond. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Julia. For her boldness, that she is her own person. And all the different activities, and I guess there's like 10 or 12 instruments she plays, and I didn't know that. You have gifted her. Drama, sports. She can articulate herself in an amazing way, and she's passionate. May that all flow in your direction, Lord, and for you and with you and for your glory. Pray your protection around her, and just help her to step out in front as a leader, Lord, within her peer group, within her school and teams and wherever you have her going, Lord. Those qualities that you're drawing out, not to pull back, but to go forward. And just bless her with her relationship with you, Lord. Lead her and guide her. Go before her. And your blessing upon her family and extended family this day. And Lord, may Julia also know that she can do all things through you, for you are her strength. Amen. Lauren Whaley. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Lauren. Everybody knows Lauren. And the love that she shares to all, and just the friendship. And she's an amazing young lady. Nobody's perfect. None of us are. But you have such a future for this one. Thank you for her family. Thank you for all that you've provided for Lauren. And she's got a testimony. She has a story to tell. And you have a hold of her, Lord. And I thank you for her spontaneous prayer and joy. And thank you for her boldness to get up and sing today, too, Lord. You have a future for her. There's ministry ahead for this one. And, Lord, we just pray the anointing of your Spirit to continue to be upon Lauren. Fill her. Bless her. Bless her family, Lord. May all that she does in the days ahead with humility and love, and a servant's heart, just be all for you, Lord. With sports and school and, you know, whatever the future brings. College, ministry. Lord, make the call upon her life plain. May she know it. And what direction that is, Lord. And may Lauren also know that she can do all things through you, Lord Jesus. You are the one that strengthens her. Amen. All right, Samantha Grabber, Sammy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sammy. She's a wonderful young lady, a good friend and comrade, teammate, schoolmate, youth group member. And, oh, Lord, I pray that Sammy would see what you see, the potential that you see. That, yes, she can do all things through you, Lord. Thank you for her gifts with drawing and painting and she's always doodling something. And just bless her with that. And Heavenly Father, that's a reminder that you are always working in our lives. And you're working in Sammy's life. And you will begin showing her her future. And Lord, may she know that she is so loved by you. Nothing can ever change that. She is so loved and adored by you. And your care. And thank you for her family, Lord. And as you bless Sammy and fill her with your spirit, bless and fill her family members, her loved ones. There is such a bright future. And just bless her today. And I know that you're bringing her out into the forefront as well as a leader. And just show her how what that's about, Lord. You are with her. And you are blessing her today indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Oh, yeah, come back out. Look out this way. Smile. You're almost done. Now, each of you are such a blessing. And we do have words of blessing. Are you ready with number 940? The back of the blue hymnal. And after the words of blessing, I'll invite our chair of the church, Antoinette Krasnowski, to come and bring you each a certificate. So here, receive these words of blessing, confirmands. Lord God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Friend.
Which these your children have made according to their own personal experience of you.